T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us now from The Athletic as well, Daniel Kaplan, sports business reporter. Dan, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, great to be here.
Dan, you know, today J.C. Tretter, the president of the Players Union, put out a letter there. We were discussing it earlier, talking about, you know, how there's a lot of players in the NFL that are at higher risk because of weight and sleep apnea or whatever. And, it feels like all the other sports have gone through so many growing pains, if you will, this year. And football has been immune to it. But I think this letter from JC kind of shows you, hey, football's got a lot of things to deal with before they get back on the field as well, don't you think?
Absolutely. And football, of course, is perhaps the least socially distant sport there is. So the concept of these players, many of whom have pre-existing conditions, knocking into each other, not playing in a bubble, of course, it's a big concern, and J.C. Tretter is right to point it out.
Do you think, based on his letter, that we won't have football by any stretch? I mean, do you think that there's anything in there that makes us think that they won't be playing in the fall?
Well, it's always possible, that the worst-case scenario comes, the second wave hits tremendously in early midsummer. But right now, that does not appear to be the case. The NFL appears very intent on going forward. They expect training camps to open July 28th, I believe, is the date. You talk to people around the league, they're actually planning for fans in the stands. So I get no hint that there won't be a season. But, of course, if the players refuse to show up, there won't be a season.
Right. We're talking with Daniel Kaplan, sports business reporter from The Athletic. Dan, we were talking about the fact that, it's very different pro and college. Like, we don't know for sure what's going to happen in college, but these pro leagues, whether it should be the way, there's so much money involved that obviously they're going to try to play through. And I'm convinced that the only way these seasons are going to be stopped once they go is if a player dies from the virus, or if there's a national response, like the president shutting it down. And obviously with this president, there doesn't seem to be any thought of doing that. So I don't think either of those things are likely to happen. Do you agree, or do you think if we get tons of players testing positive, they may shut down again?
Well, clearly there becomes a point where if there's an outbreak and there's a massive cluster among NFL teams, the league will have to make a decision. They've been asked how many positive results leads to that. They won't answer that, and they rely on consulting local and health and national health authorities. So there clearly is a scenario in which there's an outbreak, a significant outbreak among NFL players and NFL staff, in which the season would have to be called off. But what the metrics are for what, how you get there, that's not clear.
Going back to your comment on fans a little bit here, specifically to the NFL, what do you think they're going to do? And if one state can have fans and another state can't, will that affect what the NFL's decisions are based on, individual states? Like, could the Browns have fans, but maybe the Texans don't? I mean, is that possible?
The first thing to know about this is the league is going to leave it up to the individual teams, and the teams have to follow, state, local, national guidelines. So if if Houston, despite the outbreak down there, allows for, say, 20-30% of capacity, and the Texans decide to do that, then they can have 20-30% of capacity. They would then have to have social distancing, health screenings, things of that nature, probably recommendations, if not a mandate, to wear a mask inside the stadium, everything you would expect. But this essentially comes down to a team-by-team scenario, so it's perfectly legitimate scenario we could see in which one team has no fans in the stands and another team has 50% capacity. And that probably will lead to some competitive disadvantage discussions.
Dan Kaplan with a sports business reporter from The Athletic. Dan, in baseball, before they finally, the commissioner just set a season, there was no real agreement. There was a lot of talk from the owners who were saying they're going to lose a ton of money, the 70%, 80%. We had the Cardinals owner who bought his franchise for $150 million. It's now worth $2.1 billion, saying baseball is not a profitable business. What are you buying? What are you selling from what the owners have been saying about their finances in baseball?
Well, look, there's no doubt that if you're not going to have fans in the stands, you're going to lose money. Baseball's not like the NFL where 70-80% of the money comes in through national TV and sponsorship contracts. Now, yes, baseball owners, the values of their teams have risen. Yes, baseball has the owners may have investments in regional sports networks, but it's very hard to accept that they won't lose a lot of money if there's no fans in the stands. I was a little surprised the players wouldn't bend on that, but that's probably just underscores the lack of trust between those two parties.
When you look at college football and NFL and all these different leagues, how do you think they're going to balance the TV networks? I mean, there's going to be so much inventory in the fall, you'd think, that I'll be curious to see how the networks kind of handle that.
Well, college sports is a different discussion because unlike professionals who are paid for what they do, the college athletes are not paid. So it'll be fascinating to see how that transpires. And we've already seen certain universities pull back. I think the University of Arizona has done so. A lot of these universities won't have students on campus. It's going to be a totally different look if there is college sports in the fall.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much inventory there will be because I'm not sure. We don't know every team will be playing.
Right.
Right.
Dan, when you the NFL owners approved a plan, I want to say last week sometime, that you're going to be able to put advertising to cover up the seats like closest to the stadium. Obviously, all sports, baseball was talking about putting advertisements on the uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
How lucrative could that be, some of this signage that they're going to be able to add to the stadiums?
It can be very lucrative. The NFL has, in its history, does not let other than national sponsors have inventory like that near the field. You see Nike uniforms, you see Gatorade coolers, but you don't see the other advertisements. If you walk into a stadium, note the local advertisements, the other sponsorships, they're all up on the second tier. To bring that down to the lower tier is very valuable. It won't make up for the loss of those premium seats, but it is valuable in inventory. But hopefully it'll just be for one season.
We're talking with Daniel Kaplan, sports business reporter for The Athletic. Daniel, when it comes to basketball and, obviously they're playing in a bubble as opposed to baseball. It's interesting because, right, like basketball and hockey have higher risk factors because they're inside. But baseball and football, their higher risk factors is that they're not in a bubble. Which do you think? I mean, you're not a medical expert, but which would you be more worried about if you're a player, being inside or being out of a bubble? What do you think is a bigger risk?
I would think being out of a bubble is the bigger risk. If you can truly control who comes and goes in the bubble, and that's a big if, but if you can control it and you have the testing, the constant testing, I would think, in the NFL, players are coming and going, staff are coming and going. you're relying on not just the players and staff to be responsible. You're relying on everyone they interact with. It's hard to imagine a scenario in which you don't see a lot of positive cases pop up in the NFL.
Can you anticipate both Major League Baseball and the NFL, and I guess NHL as well, throw those guys in, finishing their season, or do you think it's going to be something where the bubble, you know, it hurts them not having a bubble?
Does it hurt them? Look, I mean, these are clearly unprecedented times. I don't know if there's one right or wrong way to go about this, but I know if I was a player, I would feel more comfortable in a bubble. I think that's what Dr. Fauci said, that, you know, the bubble is the way to go, when he threw some skepticism at whether the NFL season would actually occur. So it's not always, look, the NBA was fortunate. They only had 8-9 games left in the regular season. They can go down there, play a couple months, finish the season, finish the playoffs. The NFL doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah, well, although, I mean, baseball could have. Like, that's the interesting thing, because even though baseball season, you know, is traditionally longer, they're only playing, including the playoffs, for really three months and change. So it's not much longer. They're really, you know, if you think about it, they're only going a little longer than the NBA. They're starting a week earlier, and they're probably going to end maybe 2-3 weeks later. Baseball could have been in a bubble, but for some reason they decided not to, Dan.
They could have been in a bubble. Of course, the NBA's bubble is located in Florida, which is now an epicenter.
Right.
So baseball's bubbles would have been in Arizona and Florida epicenters.
Right.
So it's you know, sometimes I don't know if that's better, or if it's better to have teams moving around like the baseball's going to have. You know, there are no easy choices here. So I'm not sure I fault any league on their strategy.
You mentioned before that the NFL doesn't rely on the ticket revenue and concessions and stuff as much as baseball does, where it's, you know, who knows what exact percentage is. But what based on your knowledge, as much as you know, I don't know if anybody knows for sure, but what percentage would you say roughly is TV money for the NFL?
Oh, for the NFL, I mean, it's 60 or 70%. Each team gets roughly $250 million of national TV money every, I could be a little off in the numbers, but every year, enough to cover the salary cap, in fact. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the fan part of it, season tickets and sponsorships, but clearly the NFL is driven by national TV money and national sponsorships, too.
You know, just back to college football quickly, is there any chance you could see them playing in the spring?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. College football, do you think they could play in the spring?
That would probably be a lot better if they played in the spring. Hopefully we have some sort of vaccine come the late winter, and therapeutics are better. And it's really hard to imagine college football without, you know, the students on campus, which we may not see much of this fall, or at least not a lot of this fall. So, I mean, it would definitely throw a monkey wrench into the winter sports schedule or the spring sports schedule, but still, that probably would be a lot better.
Dan Kaplan with us, sports business reporter for The Athletic. Dan, if there are no fans or limited fans for football, which seems likely, there certainly will be limited. I we'll see if there's any fans at all, but even though we talked about the difference between baseball and football significant, it's still a certain a percent, even if it's 30% or 40%, that's still a big chunk of their money. Do you expect the salary caps, which have been going up, up, up in the NFL, to take a big drop down next year if there are limited or no fans?
Oh, you know, when I said that NFL was fine with no fans, I just meant they're not going to be losing their shirt like MLB and MLB will be. But clearly, when you lose, I think it's about $3 billion of revenue, if you take away all the fans, that's going to be a $60, $70 million salary cap hit. It won't happen this year, but it could happen next year. I would look for the sides, the NFLPA and the NFL, to try to spread that out over several years so it doesn't hit all at once. But there's no doubt we're seeing teams a little hesitant to sign long-term contracts. We're seeing them a little hesitant to pay rookies their incoming bonuses. They're waiting to the last minute, clearly, to do that. So it's already having an effect to a certain extent.
Do you think that because the season, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, right? It could be canceled. You talked about teams not signing long-term contracts. You think like the remain? Oh, we did see Cam Newton sign yesterday, but I would think there might be teams
look at the contract 1 year and barely, you know, what was it, a million, or it wasn't very much.
Yeah. Right, with incentives could be $7.5 million, but it was a lot. But I wonder if we'll see teams even before they lower the salary cap start to try to cut down payroll in preparation for it to some degree.
I think their payroll is largely set for this year. They have some wiggle room, but. There's no doubt there, especially going into the next offseason, there are long-term free agent contracts, things of that nature.
Right.
You know, those are going to be few and far between.
Dan, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Dan Kaplan from The Athletic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.